You may have heard this weekend that the public government-run health insurance option is no longer an essential element to Obamacare.
The fact of the matter is there are not the votes in the United States Senate for the public option. There never have been. So to continue to chase that rabbit, I think, is just a wasted effort.
Well, North Dakota Democrat Senator Kent Conrad, we're still hunting rabbits here on The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, August 18th. John Hockenberry is away. I'm Andrea Bernstein here with Amy Holmes.
Good morning, Andrea. Coming up this hour, leading indicators say the worst of the recession may be over. You know what else is over? Campaigning in Afghan elections. We'll also be exploring the limits of free speech. But first, we're here with Art Kaplan, professor of bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania, to talk about healthcare. Okay, Art. It is so confusing. We have buzzwords, we have phrases. Sarah Palin launched the phrase death panels, and the administration said boo. But you know what? The end-of-life counseling is out, so who scored on that?
Lack of evidence, bad rhetoric, but I'd have to say Sarah Palin scored big on that. The counseling for end-of-life care probably out of the plan.
Interesting. Art, stay with us. We're going to be coming back to you. But first, everything you need to know this morning. Headlines. In the headlines, Hurricane Bill is gaining strength out in the Atlantic right now. It's about 800 miles east of the U.S. Virgin Islands, and it's on track to come close to Bermuda by the end of the week. On dry land, Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak visits the White House today. He's expected to give President Obama his take on the Middle East peace talks.
Overseas, NATO says it will halt offensives in Afghanistan during the country's presidential elections on Thursday. That follows a call for an election day truce by Afghan President Hamid Karzai. The Taliban has promised to harm anyone who attempts to vote. Meanwhile, Kabul was hit today by an apparent suicide attack that left three civilians dead. Elsewhere in the city, rocket and mortar fire landed close to the presidential palace. In the U.S., only 45 million doses of the H1N1 vaccine will be ready by October. That's less than half of what was initially predicted. The government says it's because manufacturing the vaccine is taking longer than expected. The Army is planning to require all soldiers to undergo intensive training in emotional resiliency. It's meant to head off the mental health problems, including depression and post-traumatic stress disorder.
Former South Korean President Kim Dong-jong has died at the age of 85, according to South Korean media. He's known for his efforts to reconcile with North Korea, for which he won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Some fresh economic data out later this morning. We'll learn the number of houses that started construction last month, as well as the producer price index. Asian markets were mixed today. That follows a tough day on Wall Street yesterday. All major indices fell more than 2%. The Dow starts to trade today at 91.35. The S&P kicks off at 980. The Nasdaq opens at 1931. We're creating a healthcare glossary. What healthcare term do you want to know more about? Death panels? Healthcare co-ops? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org.
Listening to The Takeaway.
I'm Amy Holmes. I'm here with Andrea Bernstein, and we're in with John Hawk for
hey,
John
Amy.
Hockenberry. Good morning. So, Andrea, do you get as confused as I do about all these moving parts, all these buzzwords, these phrases, co-op, public option, death panels?
Are you kidding me? I took the book Cooperative Health Insurance Consortiums
with me
to Vermont last week. I read it on vacation.
Oh, well, I'm very proud of your reading material. Our next guest, Dr. Art Kaplan, he's here from the director of the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania, and he's going to explain all of this. Dr. Kaplan, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning.
So for a while there, the debate was pretty caught up in a couple of buzzwords. Let's give a listen.
Sarah Palin now joining the fray with a posting on her Facebook page saying, quote, the America I know and love is not one in which my parents or my baby with Down syndrome will have to stand in front of Obama's death panel so his bureaucrats can decide whether they are worthy of health care. Such a system is downright evil.
Dr. Kaplan, hot words, passionate words, but what was she talking about when she said death panel?
Well, nothing she was talking about overlapped reality. What she was trying to do is be political and say there are going to be people out there in the government-sponsored plan to bring in the currently uninsured who are going to do cost containment by saying no more care for your grandmother. She was saying that the disabled and the elderly had a lot to worry about if government ran health care because they were going to set limits by age and they were not going to spend money on the disabled. So it was basically a kind of scare tactic. Insurance companies do that all the time now. We have all kinds of panels at private companies like Aetna, United Healthcare, Blue Cross that sit around and say, this is covered, that isn't covered. It's not that people don't make decisions about what to pay for, but she was trying to frighten people away from the idea that the federal government shouldn't be setting limits.
But was she terribly off base? I mean, we saw that the Senate Finance Committee said that this whole idea of reimbursing or paying medical doctors to provide this counseling, it's now out of this bill.
Well, I think the scare rhetoric there worked. The end-of-life care counseling idea, I think, is a very solid and sound one. It just means you should sit down with your doctor and talk about how to manage things if you became terminally ill. Even if you're a young person, you should do it. And you should do it anyway, by the way. The idea was to get the doctor paid for the time. Doctors don't do it now because they're too busy. They're churning patients through in the current system, seeing somebody every 10 minutes. It takes a while to talk this through. But no one said you had to say, you know, I don't want to live past 60, or please kill me if my bill gets above $50,000. That was all silliness. So the idea of just paying for end-of-life care counseling time, I think, is a sound one. But I think the critics won on the rhetoric there.
But so let's move on to this new catchphrase that everybody's trying to get caught up with is co-op. And this is supposed to now possibly be replacing a public program. Here's the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Kathleen Sebelius, speaking to CNN's John King about a not-for-profit health co-op system.
They've been more focused on a not-for-profit co-op as a competitor as opposed to a straight government-run program. And I think what's important is choice and competition. And I'm convinced at the end of the day the plan will have both of those. But that is not the essential element.
Okay, Art, I'm just like falling into basically a quagmire of buzzwords here. What does she mean when she says a co-op? What is that?
Co-op is actually a variety of plans that contract with doctors and hospitals to give you services. You might say, hey, wait a minute, don't we have some of that? In a way, Blue Cross, in many parts of the country, a not-for-profit plan, acts like a co-op. So nothing magical about it at all. It's just run in the private sector. It advertises. It looks for patients by trying to, if you will, recruit them on TV or in billboards.
So are these health insurance companies like what you could sign up with on the internet and they're somehow put into a consortium? What does that mean?
Yes, and the reason they get to be co-ops as opposed to just private insurance plans is they're not for profit, although as I said, we already have a few of those. They're going to have to be heavily regulated because the private insurance plans to date have left about 35 million of us uninsured. I mean, that's been the market outcome so far. So you got to subsidize them, and you have to regulate them heavily. You have to say you can't weed out people who are sick, who have pre-existing diseases like cystic fibrosis or juvenile diabetes. You got to take them too. And you have to probably set some rates that require them to cover certain things. If you don't do that, all the co-op does is it reinvents the private market. The private market has left roughly a quarter of all Americans uninsured anyway. So it's a heavily regulated side of the private insurance market.
Now, Art, if memory serves, that was a healthcare cooperatives were a big element of the failed Clinton healthcare plan. And I'm wondering why the Obama administration thinks they would be sort of more saleable at this point than a so-called public option.
Well, I think there's a lot of fear if the government gets into this area, it's going to drive out the private plans. Plans like Medicare and the VA are very efficient. They don't have to advertise. You just sign up pretty simply. They don't have a lot of paperwork. The administrative costs of a plan like Medicare are probably, I don't know, one quarter to one tenth of what they are for private companies, which are trying to drive a profit. So The Clinton idea was subsidize them and make them attractive to small business by banding these purchasers together so they could get good rates. It was kind of a subsidy model. I'm not against that. I think in America, we find ourselves thinking it's just not fair for the private sector to have to compete against the government plan. And that's pretty much it. I think that's the rhetoric. At the end of the day, I think a government-sponsored plan to pick up the rest of the uninsured makes a lot of sense. If we can do it under the disguise of a co-op that's heavily regulated, well, okay, I guess that's all right, too.
Well, that's Dr. Kaplan, director of the Center of Bioethics of the University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Kaplan, thanks for joining us. It sounds sounds like your takeaway is a co-op might not be that much different from a government-run plan. Is that correct? He's no longer on the line with us. So now joining us is someone who has been in the medical system, and he's here to talk about what's been happening with him. We have Trevor Hughes, a 77-year-old Jamaican immigrant and retired optician. Thanks for joining us. Are you there, yeah. Trevor? Thank you. So I understand that you were just in the hospital undergoing surgery, and you paid for all of this out of pocket.
No, I don't pay for it out of pocket. I pay for Blue Cross out of pocket.
I see.
Medicare takes up 80%, and Blue Cross Supplemental, which I pay for, takes up the rest.
I see. So as we're discussing the health reform plans, what are some of your concerns as a, you know, elderly person who is in the system?
Well, I'm afraid of a change with it because I find it's very efficient as it is.
I see.
I have to find, it's a little hard sometimes to find their money to pay for Blue Cross. Of course, managed care is pretty efficient too. My wife has that. So I can always change if I need to.
So when you look at some of the reforms that are being discussed, there is some concern that it might increase our deficit. Is this something that you're concerned about?
Well, yes. If a government is going to run anything, it's going to cost a lot more. I'm sure that that happens not because of this government. That happens everywhere.
Trevor Hughes, why are you so sure the government would do so badly? After all, the government runs Medicare. It runs the VA.
Well, they're both in a mess, aren't they?
I think lots of people are quite satisfied with Medicare.
But we know it's broke.
Is it broken because
I'm not complaining about Medicare. Medicare is there and it works. Although we're going into debt doing it. But I assure you, Medicare is part of what I use. That gives me 80% of my health.
So, Trevor, I understand that you are not necessarily confident when the president says that health reform will be deficit neutral. In other words, that it will pay for itself. What do you say to that?
It's impossible. I mean, we have seen this happen with everything that government has gone into. And it doesn't work. Besides, we're beginning to get sort of doubtful about this government anyway.
Interesting.
The efficiency of it.
Interesting. Trevor, thank you so much for joining us this morning to be talking about your own experience with the healthcare system. That was Trevor Hughes, 77-year-old Jamaican immigrant and retired optician, who was telling us a little bit a point of view, you know, from the other end of the spectrum. Before that, Dr. Art Kaplan from the University of Pennsylvania. We thank them both.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MY-TAKE.
869-8253.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.